Today, I want to invite you into a time of reflection. And while I know most of us would love to just turn the page on 2020 and just move on, what happens if we move on too quickly is what we miss out on is what God wants to teach us, even what God wants to transform in us. And so instead of moving on too quickly, I want to encourage you today and this week to enter to a time of reflection with God. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14 says, "In times of prosperity, be joyful. In times of crisis, reflect." And while I can't wait, like most of you, to move back into that times of prosperity and joy, the truth is we're in a time of crisis, and the crisis continues. And the questions that we have to ask God are, what are you trying to do in us? There's so many questions we have about what's going to happen around us, what's going to happen next. But the question for us today is, what is God trying to do in you? So as I invite you into this time of reflection, I want to articulate the four purposes of reflection that God invites you to participate in this week. See, the word reflect itself means to see correctly. It's the idea of hindsight being 20/20. You might have a bird's eye view on a situation to see it fully. That you wouldn't miss the forest for the trees. All of these phrases are wrapped up in that meaning of reflection. And as we close 2020, it's important that we reflect in order to see correctly. But what we're doing when we reflect with God is we're asking for His eyes on what has happened in and around us, not merely our perspective. And so in this version of reflection, we are inviting God into our lives to reshape how we see so that He can lead us going forward. The four purposes of reflection are that you reflect to release, you reflect to rejoice, you reflect to repent, and you reflect for revelation. When it comes to reflecting to release, what I'm speaking to there is that there's a moment now that requires grief. And instead of moving past grief quickly, the invitation of reflection is to grieve with God so that you can grow with God. N.T. Wright describes the divine sorrow that God has when we experience loss of any kind. And this year has been a year of great loss. We stand with over 300,000 Americans who have died from or with COVID this year, and the numbers continue to grow. On top of that, there have been lost jobs, lost time in school. There have been lost celebrations that have been put off or missed altogether. There's these cascading loss that never seem to end. And in the middle of that type of crisis, we are demanded to push forward, to try to persevere in the midst of all these emotions. And God in reflection says, come and grieve with me and then release back to me these emotions that hold you down, the things that you've lost that I'm asking you to let go of. Now, I'm not speaking directly to grief that's attached to the loss of a loved one. If that's your situation, I want to follow up with you so that we can connect you with someone who will help you grieve that well. But I'm speaking to the other forms of loss that we've all experienced and not always known what to do with. See, in Ecclesiastes, earlier in the book, it says there's a time to seek and a time to lose. There's a time to keep and a time to cast away. As you reflect, this is a moment to release or cast away that which God is telling you not to hold on to. Don't keep what God is saying cast away. There is a purpose in every form of loss that we experience. But when we're experiencing these losses, emotions rise up within us. And reflection allows us to see them correctly so we know what we need to let go of in order for us to go forward. For some of us, this loss has revealed mental anxieties that weigh on us like a heavy burden and cause a fog so we can't think clearly. For others, we've experienced just the pain of losing things so much that we don't know what to do with. We carry that on ourselves as a burden. One of the things I do believe that someone is carrying today is lost ambitions, past dreams that have not come true as a result of what's happened this year. And what I want to say to those of you who experienced that is I'm familiar with it. It's not too long ago that I was caught in this pattern of thinking about what ifs in the past, going, what if they would have done something differently? What if I would have done something differently? And in the middle of that, in reflection, God said, I want to move you from what if looking backwards to what is possible looking forward. But it required that I release these past dreams that have been lost in order for God to fill me with new dreams. What is God asking you to cast away that you find yourself gripping too tightly? Don't keep what God is asking you to cast away. As you reflect, do so to release to God so that you can move forward and grow with God. The second purpose is that you would reflect to rejoice. Because even in times of crisis, even in times of pain and difficulty, there is always something to celebrate. There's always a place to find gratitude. So the question is, as you reflect with God, can you allow Him to reflect back to you what has been good this year? See, in times of crisis, we tend to become myopic or nearsighted, blinded by the difficulties and challenges. And I'm not saying that you look back with rose-colored glasses and try to make something good that wasn't. What I am saying is you're allowing God to zoom in on your life, on the blessings. I was reminded of this recently with, you know, how your apps sometime bring back a picture and say, hey, remember this moment. And there was a moment back in May when New York was empty. The streets were empty. And we had just found out that school was going to go fully remote for the rest of the year. And it was so hard for me to watch my kids experience the loss of finishing the year with their friends, the loss of some of their sports seasons, and try to work through that difficulty with them. But back in May, my wife had this grand idea because I was lucky that I married an optimist who liked to party. And so she looked at the empty streets and she saw possibility. And so what she did is she kind of manufactured and planned this water balloon fight. And so we put all these water balloons together in our bathroom, put them in this inflatable pool that we had because she previously had planned a ball pit for them to play in. And we put all the water balloons in this, we carried it down 5 flights, and we had this massive water balloon fight in the middle of the street. Something that never would have happened on a regular time in New York City. But here's the truth. That was an amazing memory. But I had forgotten it because as 7 months have gone by and as the crisis has continued, I've been blinded by the possibilities and anxieties of a second wave, a new crisis coming. And I had not been able to see clearly because I've been blinded. But when we reflect to rejoice, we begin to say, God, show me the good you've done. And as I've done that over this last week, I've been reminded of how God has changed me and grown me as a husband, grown me as a father and a friend, refining away from the things that I thought matter and the distractions of life so that I can be devoted to what does matter. And I've heard the same about you. I've heard you tell stories of growing with God in such a unique way that you never would have. Those are matters of rejoicing. And so in the difficulties that you need to release, don't forget to rejoice in the good that God has done. How good has your Father been to you this year? What can you remember and rejoice in over this time to celebrate? See, in the Gospels, we see that when anyone says anything about Jesus, Mary, his mother, it says she treasures it in her heart. See, when we talk about release, we're talking about what are the things we're going to leave in the trash. We talk about rejoicing. It's what are the treasures that we're going to carry with us going forward. Reflect to rejoice and find that you will sing a new song. In every new song, the lyrics that are good tell a great story. So what story of rejoicing will you tell as you reflect on what God has done here in 2020? But the third is that you would reflect to repent. And you do so because repentance leads to redemption. See, in times of crisis, we not only react, we get squeezed. And some of the things that come out of us aren't too pretty. See, I describe it like squeezing a tube of toothpaste. It's whatever's going in there is going to come out, and there's no putting it back in. And so the question that I have for you is, how has this crisis revealed what's inside of you? How has it revealed what is good, but also what is bad? See, pressure also produces diamonds. So as you've been squeezed, there has been excellence that has come out of you. But we often know what to do with excellence, right? We take a video of it and put it on TikTok so that we can become TikTok famous. But we don't often know what to do with sinfulness. When it comes out of us, what do we do? Well, if you were to squeeze a tube of toothpaste in your bathroom, you would clean it up, because you know that if you didn't clean it up, it just makes a bigger mess. Similarly, if we do not clean up and deal with our sin, it just makes a bigger mess. It produces in us guilt and shame that creates these cycles of addiction that turn us back into sin and begin to eat away at our joy and eat away at our lives. But in that, God grants us a gift. He describes repentance as a gift that he gives us to deal with the sin that comes out of us in these moments. We never would have realized some of the anxiousness, some of the anger, some of the bitterness and resentment that resided in us unless we were squeezed in this way. And God only allows these things to happen in order to redeem and change you. So in comes repentance. Repentance itself just means turning around. In order to turn around, you have to acknowledge you've been going in the wrong direction. And in repentance, what you do is you first confess vertically that what you have done is sinned ultimately against God. But sometimes that results in confessing horizontally, that you have separated relationships in your family, in your friendships, in your marriage. And so in repentance, you acknowledge your error, and then you turn to what is possible and what is good. See, that's the invitation of repentance. And in reflection, we stand before a holy and perfect and righteous God, but we also stand before a gracious God. And so our sin gets revealed, but then we remember that that's what Jesus came to do, to deal with our sinfulness. He dealt with it fully and finally on the cross. His blood shed for the forgiveness of our sin, fully and finally, his tomb empty, so that sin, Satan, and death is defeated and you don't have to deal with it anymore. We reflect to repent. But the last thing is that you reflect for revelation. You reflect for revelation. You come to God to say, what do you want to say to me? And what do you want to show me about the future? I was having a conversation earlier this week with someone, and they were talking about how they were able to engage with God over the last few weeks only when they went to bed and lied down. And as they were talking, they had this epiphany that was actually the only time that they had been still and put themselves in a position to listen. See, we often run through our lives with no planned margin. And so we don't even give room for God to speak. I find myself running from task to task and agenda to agenda, and God has to interrupt me sometimes. But it's always valuable when I just give him that time. And so what would it look like for you to give time to God that he might reveal something new to you? Jesus in the Gospels repeatedly said, I only do what I see the Father doing. He saw correctly. He reflected on what is the Father doing and how do I participate? And what I want you to hear from this is an invitation into the presence of God that he might reveal to you his plans for you, because he has plans for you. The scriptures say that they are good, they are perfect and right plans, and he wants to reveal that to you. I was reminded that when I first came to faith as a teenager, that one of the things I would do is I would go out and I would shoot hoops and just practice my shot. But what I was doing during that time is I was talking to God the whole time. And you know that because it didn't actually help my shot. My shot is still broke, but my relationship with God grew. This came back to me because my son was sharing that on his way to soccer, he would scoot and he would just talk with Jesus, just casually as he would to a friend. And he said, I scoot and Jesus walks, and he's a really fast walker. When I heard that, I was just reminded about how much God wants to be in your presence and speak to you. that he wants to show you what he has for the future, that he wants you to help, he wants to help you understand the present. See, over time, it's morphed from me going to the basketball court to going out by the water, sitting with a pen and a journal and worship music in my ears and just asking God, what do you want to say to me? If there's situations I'm facing, I present them and say, what do you want to do in this? See, I guarantee you that if you take time this week to reflect, that he would reveal to you what he has for you going forward. And so here's my challenge for you. My challenge for you is over this last week of the year in 2020, that you would take 1 hour. You take 1 hour away from your phone, 1 hour away from your family, your friends, your job. Isolate yourself to be in the presence of God and walk through these purposes of reflection. Go and reflect that God might reveal to you what he wants you to release. And start in that action with release and be able to say to him, what have I lost this year? What are you seeking to remove from my life that I need to let go to you? But don't move on too quickly from that. Ask him how he's grieving with you the loss of what you once loved. But then ask him why. Why is he asking you to release that to him? Take time to release in reflection. And then in reflection, turn to rejoicing. Ask him, how have you provided for me in the midst of this year? What are the good gifts that I will treasure going forward that I do not want to leave behind in this moment? And then move into repentance. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, he says, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is any grievous way within me and lead me in the way everlasting. Invite God to reveal to you what you want to confess. Let it be a cleanse for your soul that you just release so that you no longer have to carry those sins forward. Christ came to die to remove that from you, to restore to you your joy and to redeem that in your life. And lastly, reflect for revelation for the future. Every time I do this, one of the things that God does for me is he gives me a few specific words that are going to mark the year ahead. One of those this year was forge. I should have known 2020 was going to be crazy. My hope is that I get a better word for 2021. But more than that, I just hope that I hear directly from God what he has in store. Because the best thing that could happen is I could be in his presence and I could hear his plans. And I want that for my life, and I want it for yours. So as we enter into 2021, my question for you is, why wouldn't you do this? Just take 1 hour over the course of this week to reflect. Let God redeem something from 2020 as you move into 2021. And the last thing I'll challenge you to consider is, after you've done that, who needs to hear it? Who needs to hear what God has shown you? Who needs to hear what God has for you in store in the future, that they can walk alongside of you? Maybe it's they grieve with you. Maybe it's they rejoice with you. Maybe it's they join you in that revelation, that they would pray to see it realized in the year ahead. See, we are a family, and a family comes alongside of every brother and sister to see God's dreams come true. I am really hopeful for what's to come in 2021. But I refuse to move on too quickly and miss out on what God wants to teach us from 2020. In times of prosperity, be joyful. In times of crisis, reflect. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you meet with every one of your sons and daughters this week. As they set aside time to be with you, that they would find it easy to hear from you. And that you would help them release, help them rejoice, give them the gift of repentance, and reveal to them your great plans for them in the future. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.